Michael Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
theory of understanding rather than a theory of knowledge. This is going to be another quick podcast. This is the best you get at this point in time while I'm driving off for a medical appointment at 7 o'clock in the morning at the hospital. You have to go in these weird times to fit in amongst the sort of overbooked PET scan, positron electron tomography scan. So I'm going into hospital for that. And we're just looking at the idea of the difference. There's a series of knowledge which philosophers deal with, and that is what we know, how we know it, the extent of knowledge and all that type of stuff. This is a sort of the collective social understanding that we might have. I keep on, we've had this new intersection, and they're just telling us there's no left turn through all these concrete barriers they've put up. It's sort of totally dramatically changed the atmosphere. I wonder if it's put our house prices up or down. Of course, our house prices have absolutely plummeted, I think, I'd say a good 50% lower, because we were in a sort of a buy hot spot, and they've gone. It'll come back again. It doesn't really matter, because I'm not really concerned with money all that much. Just waiting for this car to come along. Taking its time. Come on, snap. Okay, looking at the theory, the difference of a theory of knowledge to a theory of understanding. So, theory of understanding is the maximal collective operating knowledge and understanding. One would assume that the knowledge is out there, something is true, it's what we collectively understand. That's what philosophy is. Whereas the theory of understanding is different ways, different groups understand things and how their understanding interacts with their social structure or their culture or what I would call community. I can't go straight ahead here, but you have the indicator here and you hear the rod noise rolled in Sydney swinging into action. It's an ungodly hour. This is the sort of normal time I would. When I was travelling to work, I'd always go to work at this point in time. There is this confusion, because this is confusion of knowledge, which is social knowledge and policies, and people's localised understanding. It's become become very obvious in sort of many, many ways where people locally have an understanding on a whole set of policies or ways that they're going to behave regardless of what's actually written in an overall policy. So an overall policy is a social understanding, but then they have their collective or localized understanding, which is different or secret. And when you come to talk about localized and largeness or who understands it and how the knowledge is associated, I'll call that knowledge as used by a group or an individual as an understanding, and the description of a group of people or a connection of people or a system of people, a community. So a system of people, a system of understanding. And so your theory of understanding also is integrated with the theory of community. And what I'm saying is a community of understanding is that the way things are understood, and I just lightly go around here, this large truck I'm going past. Hopefully the police will pick up a podcast. So this is, now what is happening is that people used to be, look, I'd say, coming down this hill, there'd probably be one major accident every 9 months and a fatality. Fatality once every 3 years coming down here, and of course they've shored it up, protected that up there, and put a tower or equal tower rail in there. There's concrete in the centre. This is the room. Whether they build a freeway just like this. This is a area up here, and speaking to someone who said who was showing me the jaws of life at the local fire station, he said, "Look, we haven't had to use this for 5 years. We just haven't had any accidents here." And so the fatalities, it's hard to say, the fatalities in Australia with the introduction of safety belts and regulations and some of that have dropped, but the number of cars has increased. And I must admit, I have not seen an accident. I haven't seen a car drive into another car or pull its brakes in anger for years. But look, that's probably an example. Now, what happens is that surely if you fix and upgrade a section to make it safer, that's your admission that you have not maintained the maximum standard. So there is this way that we've agreed not to use certain types of knowledge of how you do things. So it becomes very much to me when I'm on the outer and navigating around closed understanding and closed communities, there's this in existence. If you're always totally embedded in a community, totally embedded in understanding, you've got no, all the copies, I'm going to put 10 kilometres per minute speed limit here. So there's a cop car waiting on the side. This is where, if you're outside, you start to go in and say, this group of people, they've formed a closed community, and they've got a closed understanding, and they're not sharing their information. And what's really remarkable is that if they produce documentation, the documentation is physical evidence of this process. It's physical evidence that there's a community with a group of understanding. And so one of the key aspects is to modify how you interact with the community and modify how you interact with the understanding, and try and see if you can modify the understanding to embrace greater understanding. And there's sort of understanding justified actions. So if I've got, say, a broken milk bottle outside my door, this is sort of going back, no one has milk bottles anymore, I could do several things. I could clean up the milk, I could look for causes, or I could be very angry at people and accuse someone of it, or I could warn people of it. There are so a series of different actions. Some are directed to modifying the knowledge associated with the structure. So, our civilization, there's physical stuff, but all physical artifacts are actually indications of a knowledge or a collective knowledge. So that sign there, well, that has knowledge on it, but it also has information about metals, colours, techniques. So if we were to dig a sign, that sign to us would be a direction, directions. But to an archaeologist who's coming in, an archaeologist is a classic example. An archaeologist going in looks at an artifact, looks at the artifact about what knowledge that is and what that said about the community. Because the community is gone, only things are these knowledges which are artifacts. So it's just like conducting not an in vitro archaeology, but almost in vitro. Essentially it is viva, live archaeological, current archaeology. And one of the things you have to do is, if you're conducting this live archaeology, which is this communities of understanding, is the ability to, without sort of scientifically contaminating start in vitro. I think I really wish I could think of the word. This is live archaeology. That is using archaeological discipline in your current community, yet you've got your ethical processes with it. So a scientist has to buckets and buckets of times, ladies and gentlemen, so I can just lie along here, reduce my risk profile. Oh, there you go. I'm assessing the time and risk profile. Checking the speed limit. Okay, dropping down here. So this is the main arterial corridor for aircraft. Yeah, look, so this, when you look at the archaeological process, it sort of goes into itself. Part of the archaeological process, this is a live, current, I was trying to think what, there must be some Latin word, some Sanskrit word for living archaeology, sort of having an archaeological look at your civilization, and you come up with these things of wisdom, and they're not you've got a civilization that has crashed because it's degraded the land around it, and it's led to an overall long-term fall. Many years, so the degradation of land has led to the solution of conquest. In general, this is what happens. The civilization grows, destroys the food around it, it has to then go on a conquest model. There's either successful or unsuccessful. Other successful ones disappear really quickly. The successful ones which degrade the land, go under conquest and do it. They have a system, and then you dig it up and the archaeologists say, well, part of your conquest model is you had to build circuses and get bread and all that sort of stuff, you didn't actually tackle some of the underlying problems, and therefore your civilization eventually destroyed. Now, there's something very comfortable about someone years after when everyone's dead and the civilization switched off. But if someone at the time said it, it is likely that that person would have been killed, because that civilization is actually got a problem-solving thing, which is the problem is they've got the solutions are in general to get it from 133 AD to 134 AD. Their solution thing is to get it to the next. And they are competing. They're competing against other civilizations who are similarly not taking the long-term view. So there is a reason that you can actually go into it. And sort of long-term view civilizations have the overall problem that they actually will not necessarily exploit all their resources, will not necessarily cause something which is cause all these problems. I just really hope everything's okay here. Yeah, so the problem is that at the time, people who are taking, or groups which are taking a long term view, or have a different community, different time frame or complexity of understanding, are not necessarily using up all their resources. Now, in a competitive situation where you have become under-resourced and you have to perceive a group with resources as potentially winning, you have to actually strike. I think the term we had for it when we were back in army days, but we'd be having this long blah blah blah, you're going such and such and such a mission, blah, 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 and here's the background brief, and we'd listen to it, and, you know, it'd be this fake country, fake political thing. In general, we were attacked by New Zealand, but of course New Zealand would be docked, inverted, so there'd be a map of New Zealand upside down, and it would be become dangerously, perilously close to Australia to launch an invasion. This is the sort of fantasy we had to deal with. But listening to it, we'd be listening to a sequence of events which had led to an outrageous attack of Australia, which we had to actually defend, because we'd never do anything bad to get people upset. And we'd listen to it, and we'd say, that group of people are taking preemptive revenge. That is, that if they were going to attack us, we'd want to hit them back. So we have to preempt the revenge. Oh, fuck. All right, so I just missed the turn off there. So this is going to finish really soon. So the idea of this is, this is community of understanding. Another way of saying it is contemporary archaeology. That is, the use of archaeological principles to look at artifacts and raise academic questions about them, like what materials did they use, what did they include, what did they reduce, what does this say about their understanding, and from that understanding, from what is that community? Are they, have they got an exclusive community? Do they have a structure, a social structure? And so the idea at the moment, our collective understanding. So we have a contemporary archaeology of a sophisticated law system, and that assumes that there is no, you know, all people are equal underneath the law. But this is clearly not the case when you look at the actual archaeological, contemporary archaeological evidence given to us. Oh, it's going to be a dream here. No, it's 10:45 minutes ago. Sorry, it's 6:45. So we've just had daylight saving. Here's my little clock. Feeling bloody tired. to get through. So that's the general idea, and this is the community of understanding and the culture. This is an advanced scientific culture which I'm envisaging, and this is what the heck is happening in here. Oh, thank goodness. Sorry. So you can't do that. So look, I'm absolutely sitting pretty in here. Yeah, an advanced scientific culture which isn't engaged in the current, because it's in the future looking back to the present. Does that make sense? So we could vote, because we can vote in the present, looking at the present. That's how you vote. But in terms of the actual sophisticated understanding, there's this academic, so if people like to actually portray academics as being of one school or the other. Thank you, Mr. Man. And so that was an automatic gate looming in. I am the king of this car park. It's enormous. You cannot, the thought of getting into this car park is just great. Let us enjoy this car park as it comes. And it's sort of, really, this sort of car park does define it. People who think of their current situation, sort of walk out of there, there's disabled parks, I'll get murdered if I get in a disabled car park. Okay, right here. Mating. Okay, so that's the general idea. So let's summarize it here. It's not a solid idea, but these are sort of high-level ideas of the application of the scientific culture doesn't fare very well of the present looking at the present. But you've got an obligation as a citizen, as a present looking at the present, to vote and interact. And in that situation, you have attributed to yourself a very present at PPL, PP label. So you're a patient, employee, blah, blah, blah. You're in instruction. But FP, SFP, scientist in the future looking back at the present, you've got this academic
debate to say, well, to analyse the evidence and to start asking academic questions. Now, a lot of people who look in on scientists say, well, scientists have a particular view, they take they project onto scientists their own quick sort of panic. Is it this? Oh, I believe it. What's happening is so there's a certain fear, panic and confusion in non-scientists. Whereas scientists, they absorb incorrect information. And what has happened is rather than forming an image, a two-dimensional image in front of them, there's this slowly rising up and looking at a three-dimensional field of things, cogs moving in each other. So rather than just a photograph of the front of the watch, we've got almost a CAD drawing of the watch with computer screens coming up with plots and long-term projections and all this huge amount of massive amount of data and this majesty of actually thinking what's going along. So this is again a sort of view of it. So I know this idea of certain things, community understanding, putting those two together, understanding versus knowledge, which is knowledge might actually be the total sort of boundary of theoretical understanding that anyone could theoretically have in a day, and the idea of time. So we've got these broad concepts coming together, and with that, what are the strategies which go forward? And of course, there's this general idea that if you're off the if you're kicked out of the steering room, how do you steer a ship? And essentially, you detect the prevailing wind and arrange the cargo so there's a general wind and current pushing this ship in a direction because you're not allowed in the steering room. That's the general idea across it there. So I think there's all these beautiful things. I'll see if I can get a series of parables to come up. Thanks for listening, and I'm ready for another fantastic, rewarding day in hospital. Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.